In the West direction, we want to honor our ancestors. In a traditional society, this is known as building an ancestor altar. In fact, in anthropology, you learn that in many cultures around the world, people practice ancestor worship, which is really a misunderstood phenomena because these villagers are not worshiping their ancestors. They're simply putting them in an altar in their house for very practical reasons so that they know where the ancestors are, so that they're not running loose throughout the house and throughout the family. You've got them in one place, you bring your offerings to them, you light incense for them, you bring them a bowl of water or of rice or of flowers, and you create an altar so you elevate them. You honor them and you celebrate them. Now in the West, we tend to keep our ancestors in the gutter. We hold them responsible for everything that has happened wrong to us. Why we are who we are, why we're deficient in what we're deficient, we didn't get enough safety, enough loving, we have abandonment issues, we did not get enough protection. We hold them in the gutter, hold them responsible for ourselves. The truth is that if we do not honor our ancestors, they continue to live through us. They will continue to haunt us. We will continue to live their lives. So by elevating them into the altar, we're able to thank them for the lessons that they taught us, no matter how difficult, and some of them were extremely difficult. I have a student who was abused, physically abused by her father for 7 years. And she asked me, what am I going to thank my father for? I hate him. And I said, until you're able to come to the place where you could thank him for the lessons, not excuse his behavior, but thank him for the lessons, incredibly hard as they were, you're not going to be rid of him. You're still going to be haunted by him. You're still going to be attracted to men that will continue to abuse you physically. We're not free of that imprint. So she, after a lot of work, was able to elevate him and put him in an altar. And this is an exercise that you can do at home and select a place in your house, not in your bedroom, where you can gather images, photographs, perhaps a special object that belonged to one of your ancestors who has passed away, and put a cloth down, arrange their pictures, put them in proper relationship. Perhaps people that haven't spoken to each other in a long time could now be next to each other. Bring them together in your altar and bring offerings to them. Light some incense, burn some sage, light a candle for them, and go one by one and thank them. Thank you for teaching me about, thank you for your gift of. My grandmother, for example, left me the gift of poetry because she would recite poetry. She would recite poems, and she left me the gift of poetry so that I know that even though people think I'm an anthropologist and a healer, I know that I'm a poet. I just don't write very good poetry. But in my heart, that was the gift that she gave me. So I love Rumi. I love the poetry of life. My father gave me the gift of time because in his mid-50s, my father died emotionally. He came to the end of his life, and in his mid-70s, he called me up one day and said, Alberto, I don't know whose life I've been living. I've tried to be a good father and a good provider and a good husband, but I've not been living my life. And now as I'm getting close to my death, I don't know who I am anymore. And then he began to travel. He began to see the world. He began to have friends, real friends, not colleagues, not business associates, but friends. And he had 2 years in which he lived at the end of his life. And he left me the gift of living life now and not postponing it. So I don't remember my father as the man who was not around when I was growing up. I was raised in a country where there was a revolution, where there was a terrible war that had broken out. And he had to go to attend to his work. And he left me and my sister and my mother alone in the house many days. This is not how I choose to remember him. I choose to remember him as the man who left me the gift to live and of life. And that's what makes it an altar, is that you remember your ancestors in the way that you choose to, not in the way that pop psychology tells you you're the victim of. Remember that the other side of victim is hero. So the ancestor altar brings us into proper relationship and liberates us from the curse of the ancestors, so that we don't have to keep living the lives that our mothers led, so that we don't transmit to our children those things that we were not able to heal inside of ourselves, that our mothers transmitted to us, our fathers transmitted to us, so that we can be available to our own calling and our own lives. Traditionally, you put only those that have passed in your ancestor altar, but I find that it works just as effectively with the living. So we can begin to honor them now. I held a party for my father a couple of years before he passed away, and I invited all of his friends. It was a surprise birthday party, and in the party, I toasted him, and I said, "Father, I want to toast to you and to your life, and to thank you for the man that you've allowed me to become." And I celebrated him. I was telling him how I am choosing to remember him. And this is healing and so liberating, because you're no longer then under the thumb of the parental oppression. So I encourage you to choose to be a victor and not a victim, to choose the heroic path, to create an ancestor altar, to choose how you will remember your ancestors and to elevate them, to hold them in a place of honor, as you will be held in a place of honor by those that come after you.